This is Will's Band of the Week for May 2nd, 2021. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Craig from the Ipswich Bureau.
Here I am.
Good to be back in contact with Ipswich.
I reckon I'm in the, if there's a league table of podcast appearances, apart from you, Will, obviously you're here every week, but I could be up there this year.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in the Champions League, you'd probably be ready for promotion, right?
I'm going to join the separate... You heard all about this, the ESL?
Oh, yeah. <That's right.
laughs> So I'm actually going to leave the rest of the podcasters behind and join my own separate league.
For only the top superstar podcasters, right?
Yeah,
you know, it's funny. It's sort of that story kind of blew up, and I knew nothing about it until after it blew up and everybody started talking about it.
It was big here, as you can imagine, because soccer, which first of all, yeah. You have to clarify what we're talking about. And then, oh, dear, it's just... It's every day here. You know, football is such a big thing. So people got very emotional about this.
There were going to be how many English Premier League teams were going to go into that league?
Six. Is that right? The big six.
Wow. And then would they leave the Premier League if it had happened?
No, I think it would be running alongside and in competition with the Champions League, which is the transnational European club championship, which runs every year for the best club teams, and so it would run alongside that midweek. Ridiculous.
And so the backlash was so huge they just said forget it, right? Although I was just reading that there are like two or three teams that still haven't said that they're for sure out of it or something.
Yeah, Italian, maybe Real Madrid was the chairman of Real Madrid was the guy who's really behind it all. He's saying they'll still do it, but if no one else is going to take part, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think he's just fighting a losing battle there now.
Sports drama. Always good.
Yeah.
I caught up with the... I hadn't checked in a while. Caught up with the Scottish Premier League standings, and I saw Rangers had an unbelievable year. Did you see that?
They won so long ago. It was like weeks ago now.
Right.
Yeah.
And I knew that they won, and I knew that they had beaten Celtic, you know, and that kind of they won that rivalry, which is like their huge thing, right? But I think they had like 29 wins and 7 draws and no losses or something. It was insane.
Yeah.
So, well, okay. There's your European football update. We've got drama here. There's drama here too with the Packers with their quarterback Aaron Rodgers. It leaked that he was unhappy. So like the internet went crazy because he's unhappy.
He wants more money. In order to stay, presumably? Is that what makes people happier?
I mean, usually that's what it is. But he hasn't made any statements. So I think he's upset because the Packers used, I can't remember now if it's last year or the year before, they used their first draft pick for a quarterback, like to figure that he's going to be like the next quarterback. And that apparently offended him. And then, he's already maxed out for all the money that he can make. So, I don't know. Maybe there's just some kind of personal rift going on. I don't know. Just more sports drama.
Yeah. You need some kind of succession planning, though. He's not going to go on forever, is he?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And when he came on, you know, the quarterback was Brett Favre, and they had years went by when Aaron Rodgers couldn't even play. So, you know, I don't know. It was worth about 2 or 3 minutes of drama for me, and then it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
So, all right, enough sports updates. We talked about maybe doing a Death of the Week, and then we scrapped it in pre-production. So, as far as we're concerned, everybody's still alive, and that's a good thing. And not much of a coronavirus update this week. Just waiting for that vaccine to fully take hold. But I'm 2 weeks post second vaccine, so I'm official now. I'm officially immune. I mean, you know, as immune as you can be, which isn't 100%, but should be good, I hope.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. They said, I got a few updates. Well, first of all, I saw our colleague, podcasting colleague, Chris, on social media. He recorded his presence in a bar.
Oh, right.
Drinking a beer, so that was good.
Yeah, yep.
Really good to see. And then in the UK, they said of people in hospital, which is very, very horrible, obviously, with this, only 1 in 100 has had the first dose of the vaccine 3 or more weeks ago. So basically, you're 99 times less likely to go to hospital if you've had one dose of the vaccine. So it's good. They're working. Things are going to get better.
Yep. Well, we have a problem here that now that the rate of vaccination is slowing down a bit. They're still giving a lot of them. Like, I think it's like over 2 million a day, but it was up to like 3 million. And now they're running into the, what they call the vaccine hesitancy issue.
Oh, yeah.
Where people are just, whatever. Either they're freaked out or there's some political hang up they have about getting it or whatever. And so that's going to be a problem because the percentage who say they won't get it is pretty high. It's like 35% or something. So if it stays like that, then the virus is just going to keep, it's never going to end. It'll just be at a lower level, but we won't get rid of it completely. And that's what I was listening to a science nerd on a podcast, and that's what he was saying. Somebody asked him, when will we reach herd immunity? That's the phrase everybody loves, right? He yeah. says, okay, I'm going to be totally honest with you. Never. We're not going to. So, but hopefully the vaccines work well enough that at least those of us who are vaccinated won't be at a really high risk. So there you go. There's the coronavirus update. But this is a music podcast, right?
First and foremost.
Do you think we can, we always talk afterwards about whether people got greater than $0 worth. Let's sort of talk about this beforehand. Do you think we've got greater than $0 worth of material this week?
Every week when I'm planning, I get so excited and I think this is going to be the best week. Obviously, not as good as any time Nicholas is here or Honorog. I can't compete with that. But of my appearances, I think this is going to be the best. But I think it every week and then we keep surpassing our own selves, which is, yeah, there's yeah. three more good things coming up.
When you think it can't get any better, it still does. It's just incredible.
Really good releases. I have kept a bit more attention this year after a real lull last year, but I thought last year was pretty good from what I heard. And I think this year is another good year. There's some good stuff.
Well, last year you couldn't do a top 10 because you only listened to 6 things, right?
Something like that. Yes, that's not far from the truth. No.
And now you're on a roll now. You're making up for lost time. So
yeah.
That was 2020 was a lost year, let's face it.
For me, it's the prospect of live music on the horizon. The fact that I can come and see some of these things, possibly within 3 months, maybe 6 months, it's gets me more engaged in music again.
Yeah, speaking of live music, they just started booking like crazy at particularly at the Majestic Theater here in Madison. All the prominent indie rockers are coming to the Majestic starting in September, and they have gigs scheduled basically September through November. There's probably about 15 bands that we've talked about on the podcast that are playing at that one place. And you've been there at the Majestic.
Yeah, they ought to do a season ticket or a residency ticket or something. Well, of course, Will, you should be getting in free.
Well, right,
as a local celebrity. But for the rest of the city, they should have a season pass, you know, because the theaters have been so short of money in the lockdown. You think they would do it? They'd say you can come to 10 shows of your choice this fall. For $150 or $180 or something. I think you'd do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. And it looks like the ticket sales are going pretty well. Like, I think Waxahachie might have sold out. I've got tickets now for 3 shows. Japanese Breakfast, The Lemonheads, and Soccer Mommy. So
pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few more that I'm considering. One of the bands we're talking about today is coming. So, fun stuff. I mean, potentially fun stuff. Hopefully this stuff won't get canceled with another setback. But they seem to be pretty optimistic, the public health people, that things are going in the right direction. They've relaxed the restrictions here in Dane County, which is where Madison is. I think it's effective next week sometime. The restaurants are going up from 50% capacity allowed up to 75%. And they're also allowing bars to open up to 75%. Right now, I think bars are at 25%. So I hope it works. I hope it doesn't create another bump up in cases. We'll see. All right. Let's talk about this band that has a name that's way too common. I told somebody about this band, you know, and they're like, "Oh, I can't find it on Spotify." I'm like, "Well, here you have to put the album title in." So, yeah. The band is called Smile. There are something like 10 bands called Smile if you go to one of the streaming services. So the way you find this one is you type in the witty album title, which is the name of this band is Smile. Then you'll find it. So it works that way. And, you know, we should probably, I don't know if you want to talk about it a little bit, but I think we should play something before we reveal where they're from, because I think that's kind of fascinating about the band, don't you think?
Yeah, it is.
Did you want to, I'm fine letting you have the first pick if you want.
Oh, wow.
I've got three possible ones, so, yeah, I mean, there's more than that, but.
There was one you put on social media and you said, this is about a certain band from Athens in 1981 or something.
Right.
Well, so I'd always steal that pick from you in case you want that. So I'm going to go with my starred. I told the listeners before, I put some stars on my piece of paper to remind myself of my top picks. So the album's great, so fun. And there's several different things I like about it. But we'll start with track 8, From Here On.
That's Smile, and the album is called The Name of This Band is Smile. So what do you think people are thinking now? Where would that band be from? Maybe...
Well, Dunedin would be a good one. You'd think possibly New Zealand, wouldn't you?
Yep, could be. Could be Athens, Georgia, maybe.
Yeah, could be. Or yeah, and the US has its own jangle sort of heritage as well. Well, they could also be from Glasgow, but the singer, you think, maybe not.
Well, for me at least, the singer is no clue of where they're from. So,
not really, no.
Turin, Italy. I think it's Turin. Is that how you say it?
Well, in Italian, it's Torino. So yeah, you're pretty close. But in the English UK pronunciation, we say Turin. But
okay.
Italian, you're closer to the Italian pronunciation, I think.
Hmm. Have you been there on your travels?
No, I haven't. I would like to, but I haven't. No.
It's seems cool. Isn't that where they had the Winter Olympics there, like a couple decades ago, I think?
Yeah, I was about to say it's up in the north. I always get east and west mixed up. Northwest of the country, near the Alps. yeah, the Italian Alps. So it's going to be cold there in the winter. So that's probably helps with the winter sports.
So it is you just don't think of a band from Italy is going to take you back to early REM, which, you know, the first time I heard this, I'm just like, a couple of the songs, you just can't, it sounds like a long lost early REM recording. I was listening to it and thinking that, and I played one of the tracks for my wife. I said, you got to hear this. Listen to this. What, just tell me what this sounds like. You know, and she just, I don't know how many 15 seconds in or whatever, she's like, early REM. I'm like, okay. And then she lived in Athens for a couple of years back in the heyday of the beginnings of REM. So it just took her back, and she started to get like even a little bit teary-eyed listening to the song, because it like completely brought back that early Michael Stipe stuff. So there are a couple tracks here that are just really, I think, hopefully I'll have a good example of it. We'll play the one that I mentioned on social media, number 7, Try. Smile. Yeah, I think it's you know, he's definitely got a Michael Stipe affect, the singer does, and then the guitar player is just totally channeling Peter Buck. So yeah, pretty fun.
Yes, I particularly like that jangling guitar, the sort of the pick that I made. It was sort of like, it has this frantic urgency, that the stories that have to be told. I think I often talk about songs having that kind of appearance to me.
Uh-huh.
So the band is so desperate to get their stories out that they it can't not be told, which kind of gives it this really nice effect, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the drumming too, and how often I really notice the drummer on albums very much, but we don't often pick track one, but I'm tempted to do it because it's just the most frantic clattering drumming.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a track one that's probably worthy.
Yeah, so maybe we should play that and then a few more comments maybe.
Sure.
I don't have the name written down even, but I could get it.
I got it. How the Race is Done.
There we go.
Forward and one.
That's a great one. Just fun in all aspects, right?
Yeah. When you guys did the REM Countdown podcast, it may have been just another random diversion talking about REM, but you picked out how their REM secret weapon is the backing vocals. Any band who uses them, it's a secret weapon. It's underutilized, but it's always good when bands do it.
Yep, definitely. Well, this is a really good one. I think, even though it sounds so much like early REM, but it's still just totally worthy, don't you think? Like, really consistent. It's very concise. 8 songs, 26 minutes. And I think if more people learned about this, you'd have a lot of, especially old REM fans, saying, hey, this is pretty great.
Yeah, and I think anyone who likes that New Zealand sound, and Australia, of course, as well.
Yeah, right.
Often we say New Zealand, but it's just Australia has the jangle pop too. And
yep.
I think it's Flying Nun, so fans should get to hear about this, and I think they'd enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely. So I mentioned that you can search the name of this band is Smile. And in fact, that is the address of the Bandcamp page. It's the name of this band is smile.bandcamp.com. So you can get it there, you can get it on the streaming services, and we approve.
So I was talking about the drumming there, and I think I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. I'm going to talk about another drummer later, one of our other albums of the week. But I was at the music festival with a guy who played drums in a band. They weren't playing at the festival, but they were reasonable enough. They played some gigs in Sheffield, I think. You know, they were actually a functioning band, not just complete amateurs. And he said, I said, I really like drums. And he said, oh, well, I play the drums, so it's good that you appreciate them. And I said, well, as we watch the bands today, just to add a bit of fun to this, should we just rank the drummers as we go to see if we like the same kind of thing? And he said, yes, we can do that. So this next band comes on. The drummer was just smashing everything, you know, really fast and frantic, and something that was very appealing to me. So afterwards, we were talking. I said, 10 out of 10, brilliant. They said, that guy is the worst drummer I've ever seen. So anyway, we didn't continue with our little game after that. But take everything I say with a pinch of salt, I guess, is the moral of the story.
Yeah, I probably mentioned this before when you talked about that earlier. But drumming, I think, is an underrated skill. And it's and there are subtleties to it that might make you like or not like particular drumming that you don't really realize unless you like really think about it. I remember having a debate with a friend of mine way back, like when the first Foo Fighters album came out, and Dave Grohl was still drumming, and he's just drumming like a maniac, kind of. And I thought it was pretty cool, and my friend was like he's kind of off or something. It's kind of rushed, and but it's got like this sense of urgency, and. Which I think is really effective, but just depending on how you listen, it can affect you, and people will react differently. So pretty cool. All right, we're one for one. I'm declaring us one for one. And should we go to the indie rock veterans now?
Okay, let's do it.
So yeah, we got some indie rock veterans here. How many albums do they have? Should we do like a little teaser and like talk about them before we say who it is? Of course, they've seen the title of the podcast, so they know, right? So that kind of gives it up.
Sometimes you don't, though. I think when I listen, I don't always know who the correspondents are going to be that week or what's discussed, because you just click.
Yeah, you just put it on.
Downloaded automatically. You wouldn't necessarily look.
Okay, so maybe we'll have some suspense.
I'm 12th album.
I was going to guess around there. I did not do my music journalism.
And it's the fifth since they reformed. The comeback album was 2007. They had 3 classic albums. Well, hold on. In the 80s, they had 2 classic albums and their first one, and then the band fell apart pretty acrimoniously. Is that enough information for people?
Sure.
They're from Amherst. Well, they were from Massachusetts anyway, but I think Amherst.
And that's Dinosaur Jr. we're talking about. And when you know a band is, the way you know a band is indie rock veterans is when you mention the band members' names, and then, oh yeah, I know that guy, Jay Maskus. And Lou Barlow, and then the drummer is just he's just called Murph, right?
Yeah. Murph is so cool. And that's the other drummer I was going to talk about. I mean, we're going to hear it again on some tracks. Hopefully we can find some. But the drumming sound on Dinosaur Jr. albums, particularly these comeback ones, is so good. Of course they're going to have good production because it's Dinosaur Jr., but it's just when Murph hits those drums, it sounds so good to me.
It's very distinctive, right? I mean, it definitely has a, like the the snare drum is really heavy sounding. And yeah, we can talk about the aspects of the music, but I think I should let you have the first pick on this one too. You're going to get the first pick on all three, actually.
Oh,
we're
wow.
going to call you the curator. Yeah.
Okay, I'll pick. Well, I was going to pick a different one, you see. So, well, I wanted to give Lou Barlow a chance. He has two tracks on here.
Yep.
So, you know, people know what Dinosaur Jr. sounds like. This isn't revolutionary. But there's a couple of Lou Barlow tracks don't necessarily sound so automatically as you'd expect. So I was going to pick one of those. And this is the final track, track 12, You Wonder.
Dinosaur Jr., the new album is called Sweep It Into Space. And right now you are in very good standing with Nicholas, I'm sure, for picking a Lou Barlow track.
He's just so cool, Lou Barlow, you know. And I think the good thing about his tracks, obviously, is the bass is at the front. He makes sure, I guess, he says, no, this is my song now, so we're going to make sure we hear the bass. I don't know if you could always hear the bass that clearly on Dinosaur Jr. songs,
mm-hmm.
which is a shame. When you see them live, he's so animated, and he's really, you know, playing in a way that bass players aren't always. And so it sometimes gets a bit submerged with Jay's wall of sound on the records.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I was going to talk about the guitar a little bit, too. The, you know, everybody knows the, well, people are familiar probably with Jay Mascis and what he's known for. I mean, he's really known probably mostly for the searing guitar solos. There are a lot of tracks on this album where around the 2-minute mark, it unleashes, right? It's like It brings a smile to your face, you know? But also, you know, he's known for playing a Fender Jazzmaster, and that's a super popular indie rocker guitar. You know, like somebody like Snail Mail and you know, Bradford Cox, I think, plays a Jazzmaster, and you know, and in those indie rocker bands, the guitar has kind of a distinctive type of a sound, which is so different from the way Jay Mascis uses it. Of course, he's running it through a distortion pedal, but it's just it's interesting to me because he's you know, he's known, he's got a signature guitar. In fact, Grant has a Jay Mascis Jazzmaster, which is like, you know, the signature model. You know, so he's like the namesake for that guitar, but he plays it with this, you know, wall of distortion. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, I think it's just a fun band. I like, you know, these veterans, they just get into this, the time the Junior album comes out, you just got a certain level of quality, which is almost guaranteed. I don't think this is amazing in any way, and I don't see it troubling top tens really, but it's just good. It sounds good. If you like Dinosaur Jr., you're going to like it. It's not bad in any way. And it's just the level of quality is hit.
And sometimes it's like, you know, borderline kind of metal sound, but then another track will come on and it shows his pop side a little more. I think this is probably not that creative because I think this might have been the first single, but I think a good example and really good track. I'm going to play it. Number 4, I Ran Away. I had to let that play a little longer to get to the guitar solo, the signature guitar solo.
Yeah, what you're saying there about the more poppier side, I think that's come out more since Jay did those. He's done one or two solo acoustic albums. The classic Nicholas Live review was of Jay.
Oh, right. I remember that now. Yeah, yeah.
Where he toured one of those. And he had an acoustic guitar. Or did he just play his electric as an acoustic? Either way, Dinosaur Jr.'s sound has changed a little bit after that, I think, to be a little slower. You know, these are aging rockers. Things slow down, a little bit more tuneful and thoughtful. Whereas when they first came back with Beyond and Farm, those were just absolute rocking albums. More like a Bob Mould style, you know.
Yeah, just let it fly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's play one more. The pressure's
four or
on.
Five, I think. Well, I have at least two or I said four or five, maybe three or four. And what do we go with? I'm going to go with I Met the Stones, because this is a good Dinosaur Jr. rockin' track. It's track 2.
We'll be right back. tried to stop you, I could not. I'm here to tell you that tomorrow. I got excited, I got depressed. The situation and then the rest. Feel out the others, test extreme. I came prepared to keep it mean. I pressed the button on the scene. I got to help you find the sound. I held a piece off ground and down. Thought that it meant you'd come around.
Dinosaur Jr., the new album is Sweep It Into Space. The beginning of that song sounded like Judas Priest.
Yeah, you said there's a bit of metal.
Yeah, and then it just turns into, like you said, sort of signature Dinosaur Jr.
Yeah, I guess that's what they're known for. You know, the pop chord changes with the stadium rock solos and the slacker kind of aesthetic. And that's just, well, that's them, isn't it? And people know that.
Yep. Definitely cool that they're still going.
Yeah, I think I'd miss them if they were gone. And it's not like they're one of those things where the bands keep going and it's embarrassing. This is certainly 7 out of 10 or, you know, 3 or 4 out of 5 album, I would say.
Yep. That's about where I'd put it. Pretty solid, worthy.
I was going to remark on one more thing about Jay. He's a friend of the stars, isn't he? If you Google songs where Jay Mascis has appeared as a guest guitarist, you get a list on all these young indie, you know, not just people his own generation, the new bands. Kurt Vile is a good friend of his, I think. But he's known to be a very awkward person. So it's quite funny to me how he gets on with it. He must have this so much respect, and he can't actually be that bad, because you would never invite this really troublesome, awkward person to guest with you if you knew it was going to bring all kinds of issues, would you?
Right. Yeah.
So maybe he isn't as bad as the reputation. Maybe he's mellowed with age. I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. All right, well, we've got another one. What a fun one. This came, from my perspective, it came out of nowhere. You told me about this artist about a month or two ago, and I had never heard of her. I don't even, how did you even find this?
Blimey, how did I find it? I think I was listening to a record that I was preparing for the podcast, and on Spotify, I don't know if you have this, I'm not a premium member, I just have the free advertisements version. And when you finish listening to one record, I found some good stuff this way. It just plays a random other track that people like you have enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And it played, I think that's how it happened, and it just played one of these, a song by this band.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, it's great to discover something accidentally like that.
Yeah. This Adele and the Chandeliers from Brisbane, Queensland, Australia.
And the trivia item is that Adele was in the Go-Betweens for that kind of the last phase of the early 2000s. So that's indie rock cred right there, right?
Yeah. So when you hear that, it immediately makes you interested, piques your interest, as I would say.
Right.
Adele pick fans, not that Adele. That's what you always have to say.
Right.
You know, kind of with an exclamation mark. Not the Adele. Well, anyway, we don't need to talk about her too much.
If we just...
The album is... sorry.
If we just say that we're talking about Adele, maybe we'll get like 5,000 listeners. You know, and then they'll just be all disappointed.
Or they may be impressed that the two people could be so cool and like such good music.
Sure. Yeah.
The album's from 2020, actually. So we're, a little bit late, but it's always good to go back if you miss something.
Right, and we did miss this.
It's called First Date. Should I have the first pick then?
Sure, yeah.
Track 7. You can't go wrong with track 7. Gourami Fish? That's a funny name. Gourami Fish.
All I want is a yellow submarine to dive down deep.
Adele and the Chandeliers, and the album is First Date. They'd be right at home in Nicholas's backyard at the barbecue, don't you think?
Yeah, how far is Brisbane to Melbourne? Oh, I bet it's a long way.
Short drive down the road. Maybe like 10 hours or something.
Yeah.
I guess we have to look it up now for...
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna have a guess while we're there, just to make it fun. I don't know. Australia's huge to drive. I don't know. I think it's got to be 800 to 1,000 miles. I'm gonna say. I'm gonna be way off. This would be funny.
Okay, I'm pulling it up here. It's a 17 and a half hour drive.
Whoa.
1,776 kilometers. So would that be?
I'm not that far off, am I?
No. What did you say? 1,200 miles.
800 to 1,000 miles.
Yeah, this would be what? Maybe 1,200 miles or so.
I don't think that's a disgraceful guess.
I don't know. Maybe my math's wrong there. Anyway, it's far. Let's see. How about public transportation? Looks like you can take a train, and it takes 1 day and 13 hours. So, yeah, it'd be a little inconvenient for the barbecue, I guess. Take them a little while to get there. But, the food would be so good, and the company would be so good. It'd be worth it.
Mm. And the beers. There'll be some beer flying,
right.
I imagine.
Yep, some good Aussie beers. Yeah, what a fun discovery. So I'll tell you what I did. I do this with a lot of albums that I'm sort of sampling for the first time, just to kind of, play a few seconds of a whole bunch of tracks, just to kind of get a feel for, like, what does it sound like? And one thing I sometimes notice is there'll be an album that has, 10 or 12 tracks, and they're mostly, 3 minutes, and then there's one really long one, and I have this little test. I'm like, if you're gonna put that much time into that track, it better be decent. It better not be a waste. So I've actually had albums where I'm like, okay, you put an 8 minute track in the middle of the album and it isn't good, I'm eliminating this album. That's how harsh I am sometimes. Yeah. So on this album, you get all these 2 and 3 minute type song lengths. And there's a 6 minute one in the middle. And here's the thing that's great. It's a really good song. So it's totally solid. And so I'm going to play that one. It is track 6 called Swimming with Sharks.
Go down.
It's a fun one, in my opinion. It, you know, goes into a little jam, but a good jam, and it's cool.
Yeah, that's that was one of my other picks, and actually, I think that's the highlight of the album when it gets to the second half of that song, or maybe the last third, and it goes into that, which you call a musical jam. So it just builds to this great, you know, instrumental bit with synthesizers going, and really good. I think if you, that song live would be one that you'd really enjoy because of that.
Yeah,
that last bit.
Yeah, it justifies its 6 minutes. So, yeah, fun one.
Yeah, how would you describe this? I think it pop, I guess. It reminds me of something so much, but I just can't work out what it is. I listened to this about 4 or 5 times now, and I don't. It's sort of like something almost Motown in a way. Is that fair?
Yeah, maybe. I keep listening to it in the context of, you know, being Australian and the Go-Betweens connection. So I think it definitely fits that. Some of those bands that we've listened to from similar parts of the world, I think. That's the context in which I guess I'm listening to it. And it has a lot of coloring to the sound that's interesting, and the instrumentation is really cool. So, fun.
Yeah, I think parts of it, a little bit, the band from London, Shopping. From London or Brighton, anyway. So that's kind of pop. Funk sound, the funk would put everyone off, but you know, people can hear for themselves what I mean. Sort of the arty jangle in a way.
Yeah. So one more track. This is very important. You've got one more track to highlight.
Well, there's the Buzzcocks cover, but I think actually we've had 6 and 7, and my other one was 5, apart from the cover version, which is good. So we'll have Something Good Is Happening, track 5.
Adele and the Chandeliers, and the album is called First Date, and it's fun, according to us.
Yeah, looking forward to the second date. It says, whenever a band says, this is our debut album, to me that just suggests there's going to be another one. Otherwise, what would you... Of course, it's factually accurate to say it's debut, but...
Yeah, otherwise it would just be their album.
This is our album.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Her website is adelepickvance.com. And it says, it's interesting, right below her name, it says, current band, Adele and the Chandeliers. So, and then there's not really all that much on the site, but then there's a Twitter link. So I clicked on that, and there's like she's playing a lot of shows. Like, stuff's happening. They can have shows in Australia now because they don't have a raging coronavirus. So that's cool.
That is cool that they're playing. Yeah, I didn't realize. Sometimes these bands pop up and they're just going to be a studio-only band, so it's really good to... Maybe they'll come to the UK when we don't have the coronavirus.
Yep. Well, you know, this is back to the coronavirus update, I guess, but they've started to relax the travel restrictions a bit, right? England, I don't think, has done it yet, but the rest of Europe, the EU that England used to belong to, remember back then in the good old days?
Yeah, remind me.
They, I think they said that vaccinated Americans are permitted, I can't remember when, effective June 1st maybe, or July 1st, I can't remember. So I'm assuming that Boris will follow suit, right?
Yeah, I think May 17th, people will be allowed to leave the UK again. And then it depends on the countries you're going to, what their policies are. But mm-hmm. Greece have already said vaccinated British people can come. So they rely so much on British tourists, Spain and Greece, Portugal. Their economy is basically 20% British tourists between July and September, I think.
That makes sense. Yeah. So, well, now we can proclaim greater than $0 worth, right?
Yeah. We teed it up earlier. We said we're going to deliver it, and then we actually delivered it as well. So that's we didn't falter.
You know, we're like the baseball batter who, you know, before the pitcher throws the first pitch, he points to center field, you know, to the bleachers, proclaims he's going to hit home run, and then he does, right? That's basically
exactly what we're like.
We did that. Yep. Well, anything else? You're on an international podcast, and you can say anything you want. Think of the power that you have.
I think I said everything I wanted to say. Yeah, I can't. Nothing's burning.
All right, we did it. Another week. Let me again proclaim that we've got more fun podcasting coming up. I've got quite a few bands that appear to be podcast worthy. One in particular, it's been kind of on the fringes of like ready to be talked about for a few weeks now. We'll probably get to it soon, but I'm not going to tell you what it is because it's too exciting to be. It's, you know, you got to get surprised when the podcast actually comes out, right?
Yeah, we don't like to do that. Now here's the thing. I said I was out, but of course that's never. You can't ever be completely out of comments. Do you know what this town, Pioneer Town, California? Have you heard of it?
No, Pioneer Town? I have not.
It's on the edge of Joshua Tree National Park, just north of Palm Springs. I don't know. I'm not going to work out how far it is. An hour's drive or something? I don't know. Bands are playing at this 300-capacity venue in Pioneer Town. Idols, band from Bristol in England. And who else is coming over? Black Midi, I believe, are playing there. Yeah, on their fall tours. So whoever this is the promoter at this venue, they must have some pretty big sway because... It's going to be the cool place to play now for these bands.
Well, good. Good. I mean, people obviously are really excited about live music coming back. I just hope it works out the way everybody's hoping it will. Like I was saying, they have so many bookings now for the fall, especially at the Majestic here, and now the High Noon has started to book some stuff too, including Black Midi, I believe. And some of the stuff's selling out. So, you know, there's definitely a pent-up demand. Looking forward to it.
Live reports will return.
Yep. I think we've done one live report during like the whole pandemic, and that was when my friend Fred went to see the Flaming Lips Bubble show. So that was great. we'll have more coming up. All right, let's sign off before people delete the file. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.